Undulations of Humankind, or On Escaping Indoctrination and Becoming a Citizen of the World. Who or what has us trapped? We do. We do it to ourselves. Richard Dawkins says that it is an evolutionary adaptation. The kids that don't listen to adults and test the hippo or snake don't survive. Considering the ease with which we are indoctrinated, we are suffering from a kind of genetic blight of sorts. We don't seek to cure it because it prevents us from seeing it. Lots of predators adapted to be invisible. Heck, the movie Predator was about an invisible creature. But let us not personify or anthropomorphize the ailment. Rather, let us recognize that we are suffering from this blight because it comfortably piggybacks on our blind spots. To rephrase it, humanity's blind spots are a great place to hide, incubate, and thrive. This was never a huge secret. The reason modern religions combined the religious beliefs of all the cults they conquered is because of deliberate efforts to use the evil of this blight to make a city, to build a nation, or take a little bit of coin from a lot of people. It is easier to survive and thrive as a large city. Military today is recruiting teenagers with clever commercial computer games and later praise. The praise component ensures that their kids will also see military as a height to strive for. And teachers. Teachers are in fact semi-aware that they are herding young people through the many bullpens of bullshit with grades, threats, and carrots on a stick. The real reason why you are told that you won't always have a calculator on hand, but also at the same time forced to memorize things without any comprehension, is that your teacher needs to get paid. Compared to your teacher's paychecks, you mean nothing. If you meant anything at all, each class you selected based on your own private personal curiosities would leave you shaking, in fact, crushed by new superpowers. A real class doesn't grant you some incomplete knowledge that maybe later, if something you may find useful in life. Instead, a real class leaves you with a box of plastic parts as incomprehensible as my poetry that came from your 3D printing projects. See? A 3D printer is a very unusual thing. The ideas come from your imagination, it goes through this machine, and then you get to hold them. That's how a real class works. You start with your imagination, and at graduation, you have this thing in your hand that came from your mind, that is real. Not a half-memorized multiplication table, but a thing you can put in your pocket. And for those who argue this because of your theoretical knowledge, no. What defines a real class is a tree of curiosities. To be able to print that 3D part, you also have to master the pen and tablet. You also have to master Blender. You also have to master remeshing your models. That's why curiosity is such an important component of selecting your lectures, because if you're just told to do this, you will fail. But if you want to put a thing in your pocket, you will easily breeze through all the Blender and tablet and pen and 3D modeling lectures just to get to that final part. And when leaving the classroom with your gadgets, you will feel your new superpowers. That's a real class. When you don't get that, that means you just get taken advantage of. In case you still don't believe me, I will give you some extra examples. I invite you to train your eye on the wall or screen projector in your art class, the thing that's stuck in the ceiling. This was originally called camera obscura, more recently camera lucida. Try to imagine yourself projecting a selfie of a person you adore on a canvas, then using your preferred graphics editing program to find edges, to mix colors, to identify what colors you need to mix, and then being free to make that special person smile, to make them see you with a work of art that you have created for them. Or just take it home and make your mom happy, or sell it somewhere. Even if you're just hanging up at the local coffee shop, especially when not asking permissions, just walk in, take whatever they got down, and then hang up your creations. It's a great way to make friends. Now, move your eyes away from the projector and listen to what the teacher is saying. Dirty ass live models? Hand-eye coordination? And when you turn your back, you are hormones to her. Or if you are a man or unlucky, you may even sometimes be a pig. That's not education. Not at all. The definition of real art is art that changes lives. That means you have to get to the correct shape, get to the correct color as soon as possible, and this will be your practice to do it freehand in 30 years. But you don't do that to start with. To start, you create works that change lives. Music theory is even worse. I refuse to write about forced finger practice. That is an evil that these poems will never touch on. But the truth is that you, yes, you, were born a composer. Did you know that? You should have. It was silently taken from you, without you noticing, because the mechanism of indoctrination and all the things connected to it is invisible. Music composition is within all of us. And it is seriously just a matter of squares on a grid. Not in your music theory sheet, but inside a beat sequencer. You'll never know how important what I just said is until you turn on LMMS on your computer and try to make a song. Music theory, the first thing that we all learn in school, it destroys the musician in you. It mangles your natural predisposition for composition. It is a music development language that brings compatibility with works of other artists. That is not something you start teaching music with. That is so terrible. Such a crime. How many musicians were pushed away from creating the loveliest of works? Probably almost all of them. Music theory is the first and foremost because it is brainless to teach it. It is square enough to test with grades, and it doesn't actually involve doing anything. The beat sequencer is also dealing with squares and is in fact quite square, but it is a real thing that you can hear immediately. You sit down at a beat sequencer and you are making music. But with music theory, when you're dealing with grids, you're making nothing. You're making a paycheck for the teacher. Music theory and the music already playing within you are actually opposites. Music theory will first destroy what makes you want to compose. And I hope you never find out that music theory songs can't make people dance. They are a painful thing, distracting thing. They are awful things to try to dance to. Whatever pain a good song tunes out, these music theory creations actually bring it right back. Worthless. Music theory songs are worthless. The real song is within you, without the music theory. There are so few segments worthy of dance today that it is not a crisis of tonality. Music lays dead on the floor. The teachers destroyed it. For a paycheck, for a pat on the head. There's a price to pay for this, because it won't be dead for long. In fact, it is already twitching back to life. But it will no longer be made by the cookie cutter humans. Now the real music will be made by generative technologies, the same way those beautiful works of art are emerged out of chaos. There is hope for music, greater than ever before. You didn't notice it, but art has also laid dead for quite a stretch of time. You know what? I could have done away with it. I was actually unlucky enough to see the final pale twitch of it. In a way, it made me very sad. It terrified me. It bespoke of 100 hours of monotone torture. I saw a brilliant artist. Bless him. He's done everything right. But he was using colors taught in college to create a work as deaf and tepid as the standard Windows XP desktop background, except largely desaturated. It was color dead. He was right to be proud. He did everything perfectly. The weeping colors cried out in perfect harmony. It was as good as a photo and as miserable as war. Maybe you are a programmer. Yes, yes, I mean that language. Language that is still slow, that is being replaced on the phone. Imagine that. All the apps will need to be rewritten now. Language that you have to pay for if you want to develop on the main flavor. You too were a victim of indoctrination once. You see, you have to learn to see it. Or are you still adding type definitions to an untyped language to pop up useless, annoying, distracting, worthless lists of completions? Because you should probably leave that up to the AI. Do not let them extend and extinguish you. Don't be childish. Don't make a fool of yourself. Point is, indoctrination is everywhere. It is the common cold, the rhinovirus for our minds. And we must learn to see it, or it will push you around. With just 4 words, Cornel West in Astra Taylor's Examined Life captures it most poetically. The virus hides and lives in our tacit assumptions, our unarticulated presuppositions. Wow, what a way to put it. Once you look for it, though, it will stop being invisible. And you'll hoover up a few hundred narrated books to re-energize yourself in no time. Once you see it, it makes you hungry for what is yours. Inheritance. The inheritance of knowledge that is stored in books. Not old books. The inheritance is constantly refreshed, rebuilt by modern authors. So you just read the books that move you. And you will be picking up stuff that is thousands of years old, as well as the new things. Now, the people who naturally notice indoctrination are the outsiders. The outsiders are the positive anomalous. The bad guys, the negative anomalous, when pulling out of indoctrination, will often have a very difficult, if not impossible, time. No one ever effectively convinces themselves that whatever they did while under indoctrination and to become a bad person wasn't their fault. I always encourage them to stand guard at their point of no return, to find meaning in preventing others from fracturing the same way and making their pain count for more. But at the same time, we should do the same and never forgive bullies. This is our way of guarding points of no return. I hope you understand. In collaboration with the other side, we build a wall to prevent the little ones from reaching points from which they cannot return. Not really, not completely. In that way, we can kind of say that there is forgiveness in never forgiving. Who would have thought? The traveler is the first kind of person that sees indoctrination naturally and in a very healthy way. The moment a human steps into two different cultures at once, they immediately snap out of both. No quibble, no doubt. The abused and the castaways that rose above their pain and became thinkers, creators, and leaders, and as coherent and whole, have a more abrupt, if not brutal, exit from indoctrination. And they do not need two separate cultures to see both as theater. Once betrayed, they wisely reject all cultures and never, ever return to any. And thus, they become the great citizens of the world. There's much more to be said. Where we are going, and how we are going to manage to end poverty and fix education when both of those things rely on one another. They create a perfect lock. Poverty prevents real education, and fake education can't get you out of poverty. It's a locking mechanism. But listen, for all the wars that are going on where brothers stand against brothers because of this simple blight of indoctrination, there is hope in the future. Here, I will close with Robert R. Dre, who helps us find compassion for ourselves, a forgiveness for all the dark ages that have so snuck up on us and now linger to this day in our blind spots. But we were born of risen apes, not fallen angels. And the apes were armed killers beside. And so what shall we wonder at? Our murders and massacres and missiles and our irreconcilable regiments? Or our treaties, whatever they may be worth? Our symphonies, however seldom they may be played? Our peaceful acres, however frequently they may be converted into battlefields? Our dreams, however rarely they may be accomplished. The miracle of man is not how far he has sunk, but how magnificently he has risen. We are known among the stars by our poems, not our corpses.